Lo prometido es deuda. Les había comentado que vamos a estar conversando con Ilan Stavans con un tema que es de mucha importancia. Lo ha sido siempre, pero hoy en día con mayor razón. We are going to start our conversation with Ilan Stavans. This is going to be a great conversation, as all of them are, and he's been our guest here many other times. Ilan Stavans is a Louis Severin Professor of Latin American and Latino Culture at Amherst College. We're going to speak about this book, Words in Transit, and let's welcome, vamos a darle la bienvenida a Ilan. Buenas noches, ¿cómo estás? Bienvenido.
Muchas gracias, es un enorme placer estar de vuelta en Tertulia.
Good evening and welcome to our show, Tertulia. How are you, Ilan?
I'm very well. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Very good. Well, we're going to speak about this book, Words in Transit, Stories of Immigrants. Now, this is a project of this station, New England Public Radio, but you did the introduction of this book.
This is a project that we started about a year ago, Raquel. It's a collaboration between New England Public Radio and Amherst College, particularly through what is called the Copland Colloquium. And the effort was to bring about stories of immigrants that they exist in the Pioneer Valley from all over the world, and to show the degree to which the area in which we live has been transformed by all these individuals coming and connecting us with different parts of the world. And when the project started and the students went out and helped the technicians and the radio producers gather this information and turn the stories into oral testimonies, and then they aired on Morning Edition in this station, we received a wonderful reaction from the audience, very warm and very broad and deep and enthusiastic. And eventually, all the stories were turned into a book. This is the one that we will be presenting throughout this season. In fact, on a Tuesday, I want to invite all your listeners and you to come to the Jones Library, the public library at Amherst, in the Amherstown, where three of the participants in the book, three different immigrants, will be telling their stories and engage in conversation with other immigrants like you and me, who feel at this particular point very vulnerable, fearful, threatened because of the atmosphere of uncertainty and racism that has resulted after the election on November 8.
This is going to be this Tuesday, this coming week?
This Tuesday, in a couple of days, at 7 o'clock at the Jones Library, and I invite all of your listeners again, and you. This is a conversation that we need to be having with ourselves. Immigration is a crucial component in the shaping of this country. It has been from the very beginning. And as you well know, this past election demonized, as a result of the back and forth between the two candidates, the role that particular immigrants, Muslims and Mexicans, have in our time, and it is important to counter the rhetoric that has been taking place and to show support for those that feel vulnerable, particularly for those that are young and might be undocumented, but who have been part of our community and should continue to be for a long time. We are an open community where the dialogue, even with voices that are not like ours, is essential for us to fortify our values and our mission.
After all, this nation was built on immigrants. So,
absolutely. Yes. In the immigrants are all of us who have come from different parts, from the pilgrims that arrived in the Mayflower to the various waves that have come from the old continent and the new continent, from Asia, from Africa, from the Caribbean and Latin America. We often use different terminology to describe those that come from the outside. Immigrants and refugees and exiles and expats, And even somebody like a tourist is a temporary visitor to a different place. And I think it's crucial to understand that the act and art of being an immigrant is about reinventing yourself, in that that is an experience that shakes you to the core. You feel lost, you feel disoriented, you feel that you don't belong, that nobody understands you, you can't eat, you can't sleep, you feel that the way your dress is doesn't represent you, and you feel exposed.
That is so true. I remember when I came at the beginning, you know, this is way back, and I remember feeling I don't belong here. I came as a tourist to see, I was young and curious, I wanted to see the whole world and spread my wings. And I remember that after being here for a while and feeling kind of or maybe knowing that I was going to be staying here, I had these horrendous doubts, feeling, as you just said, that I don't belong here. And it's a horrible sensation. But you know what? I think that all these hardships that we encounter through our lives are the ones that forge our character and makes us stronger people.
No doubt. And I would say that it is precisely that the strengthening of the character, that test that we go through, that makes us more convinced that there's an opportunity for us and that our voice counts. And I would say that what makes this country exceptional, it is still exceptional, is precisely the fact that all sorts of energies, voices, presences come from different parts of the world and want to shape their own lives here with us. That's an infusion of vitality. And immigrants make things happen because they know that in their place of origin, they didn't have the same chance, and that here it's a sink or swim. So the vision that we regularly hear or see, that the immigrants are lazy, that immigrants are criminals, that immigrants are drug addicts, there are all sorts of immigrants, just as there are all sorts of natives. And yet the passion that immigrants bring to this, to the desire of build a new life, I think not only is good for them, but good for everybody.
And that is also because we come here with a purpose. You know, if we are running from our country where there's a lot of violence and we're coming here, we want to start a new life. So we have a purpose and we are not afraid to start with menial jobs, you know, because you know that that is maybe the first of your many stepping stones in your life.
The way to start climbing up, and we have the impression, we have had that impression even before we came here, that this is a country that allows for those who fight and those who have talent and those who have conviction to climb and to improve their situation. And there is social mobility here. Many of our countries of origin don't have that social mobility. We come from places where you are born into the lower class, into a particular segment of society, and you are likely to end your days there as well. Whereas here, the possibility of improvement, the possibility of progress is as much individual as it is collective. And I think that many countries today learn from the United States in that they have opened their doors to immigrants, because the immigration is a pattern of the world. There's too much inequality, and people in countries that have little opportunity dream big dreams and want to go to Europe or want to go to other places. And the United States should remain a beacon of hope and a model for others to be open and reflective.
What would you say to the people that oppose the immigrants coming to this country based on their ideas that they're coming to take away their jobs and you know, lower the standards of living in the area where they come? What is your
response. One of the things that I my impression, Raquel, is the result of this election is that we live in an astonishingly divided country where we end up simplifying those that don't have ideas like ours. I can't believe that 2 million people would be racists or would be all liberals, as if through generalizations it's easier for us to understand others. I would say that the first thing to think about is that any single American family, maybe with the exception of Native Americans and some of the Mexicans that lived in the Southwest, comes from somewhere else. And that somewhere else has allowed us to keep connection with Ireland, with Germany, with Poland. And so the first thing is to look at one's own genealogical tree and to see where the immigrant arrived and how that immigrant enabled us, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, to be where we are today. And the second is to think of that thing that Mark Twain said once, generalizations are always untrue. They're always false, including this one, this generalization that I'm making. And so to catalog every single immigrant in a particular way is really to do a disservice to the richness of the human experience. We are all unique. We are all different. We're all full of dreams. And we're all full of possibilities, too.
And also, I think that this is almost, I compare it to a process of osmosis, because we absorb some of the North American culture, but on the other hand, we also give part of our own culture. And that's what makes this country rich and richer.
Absolutely. There was, for a long time, Raquel, the vision among sociologists that this country was a melting pot, una especie de, in Spanish, una cazuela de sabores y de posibilidades. But more recently, sociologists and anthropologists have moved away from the concept of the melting pot into the mosaic or the salad bowl. Instead of losing your background, your heritage, you contribute with it to this a landscape of possibilities, and that landscape changes in turn as you change, as what you were saying. It's a process of symbiosis or osmosis or a dialectical dialogue. The country is better as a result of immigrants, and the immigrants are better as a result of the country. We no longer have to sacrifice our background as immigrants. We can keep it, but also keep the elements that the American society gives us. And I think that that's very important. And I think that that colors other societies. From in the Dominican Republic, Haitians want to go to because they believe that that is where they're going to find a better opportunity. In Costa Rica, you have Nicaraguans that are coming, or you have Salvadorians. In Germany, you have people that are coming from Turkey. People don't stay in the same place. The moment that we're experiencing right now, anti-globalism, fluidity is a moment that can frighten many people, and we need to understand also those that are reacting, feeling that are being left behind. But it is important to realize that progress has to be fluid, in that we have to bring those that have not felt included into this, rather than pushing all of us back to a past that is nostalgic but unreal.
We cannot speak of immigration without speaking of racism. They are very intertwined. And I have heard people saying this: I am so afraid that by the year 2050, us, the white people, will be a minority. How can that be? This is our country. How is it possible that people, outsiders, that's the word this person used, outsiders instead of immigrants, are coming, and all of a sudden now they're going to be the majority?
I think that first of all, it's crucial to understand that the one stable thing in the world is change. The one thing that never disappears is change, and that some that are at the center move to the periphery, and sometimes those that are in the periphery move to the center. I grew up in Mexico in a small minority a part of a Jewish community of immigrants from Poland and Ukraine. And I can say that being in a minority has a lot of benefits. You don't have to be in the majority to understand the quality and value of life. And you also can share the power that you have had before. So, you know, this country will change dramatically by 2050. I don't think it will be a diminished or impoverished country. I think it will be a more enriched and complete if we are ready to allow for those different voices to be accepted.
When you came as an immigrant, did you, or actually I'm going to fast forward. Being now an immigrant who has lived here for so many years, do you go through these stages where you feel that you don't belong here and you don't belong there? When you go back to Mexico, you feel that you are not at home as you used to be?
Oh, absolutely, yeah? Raquel. And I'm sure that you and many others feel the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Here, I feel that they tell me immigrants like you don't quite belong. And when I go to Mexico, they tell me, oh, you speak strange, you dress strange, or you're not like us anymore. And so the immigrant often lives in this no man's land or no woman's land, in this in-between. And, you know, for a long period of time, that frightened me. That made me feel that I didn't have ground under my feet. But now it allows me to be both here and there and to have the perspective of an insider and an outsider. And I think there's always a benefit to not being an insider all the time.
Estamos conversando con Ilan Stavans sobre este excelente libro, Words in Transit, que son historias de inmigrantes. My guest tonight, Ilan Stavans, he's a professor at Amherst College, and we're speaking about the book Words in Transit, Stories of Immigrants. In this book, you have stories of how many immigrants are you presenting in total?
There are almost 30 different ones from different parts of the world, from Iraq and Syria and Cambodia and Palestine and El Salvador and Spain, Ghana, from all over.
And but this is focused on immigrants in this part,
in this area,
Pioneer Valley.
And the Pioneer Valley is such a loose and flexible reality. It goes from Hartford to Worcester, and it includes all these areas of Amherst and Springfield and Holyoke. So it is about people that have moved to Amherst, but they have also moved to urban centers like Hartford or Worcester, and they have felt that sense that you were talking about of being lost, of realizing that nobody can pronounce their name, of being in high school and not knowing a word of English and thinking, how are they going to even talk to the teacher or find a friend? And then after 1 week or 1 month or 1 year or 10 years, they all of a sudden wake up and realize that they have friends and that they communicate with the teacher. And maybe some of them become teachers or some of them become lawyers or doctors or businessmen.
One of the people that is in this book's stories is this woman from Cambodia, Sovan Malis Loengu. Tell me a little bit about her.
I want to tell you about her, and I want to tell you also about another Cambodian in the book, Hip Sint, who's going to be on Tuesday at the Jones Library. The experience that both of them describe of the repressive regime in their country, the sense of hopelessness that they had, and as very little children, not knowing if there was going to be a place for them, their families were under threat, and then eventually moving out, one of them going to Thailand, the other one not really even remembering the details of where and how things progressed. You know, we often think that immigrants know exactly how they came here. Very often they are so little that the memory is more surrounded with legend and myth. They don't know exactly what they went through, their parents. And I want to call attention to something that you are saying. The fact that in this book, Raquel, and that you and I right now are speaking in English, a language that is not neither yours nor mine, at least not the first one, and that every single one of the almost 30 immigrants in this book is communicating in English, speaks to the fact that the immigrant really has to reinvent herself or himself, in that language is a kind of new dress that you put on yourself. And sometimes you feel like you have a heavy accent or you don't have the vocabulary, in that people are going to think that because you have an accent, you don't think right or you don't speak right. When in fact, you struggle to capture the words in front of you, and you become really in-depth and passionate about language. It's beautiful how many of these immigrants in the book talk about their name, how the name is pronounced by different people, how it sounds in their language, in Cambodian, very different as it sounds in English, and how they had to come to terms with the fact that it's a name that doesn't sound like them is now theirs. It happened to all of us. It happens to me all the time when people can't pronounce my first name or my last name, where I get letters in the mail with letters all sort with you know, spelled out in ways that my children make fun of. But that is part of that sense of loss and regain.
That brings to memory, my last name is Obregón, as you well know, and I have been called Miss O'Brien. And I always say, O'Brien, you know, if you saw me, you know, my face, you would know that I am not O'Brien. Now, this person, I like something that she said, because she's a refugee, or she came as a refugee, there was an analogy that she spoke of, the push and pull factor. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, the push and pull factor. Isn't that what we go through in life all the time? The fact that, you know, recently, Raquel, I was in another presentation of this book, and I had something that that made me so excited. I met the ESL teachers, the English as a Second Language teachers, in high school or middle school of many of the immigrants that are in this book, who told me of meeting them for the very first time where they didn't speak a single word, and now attending an event where they were speaking in English and they were signing books. That was so rewarding to them, and it was enormously rewarding to me. I think that's the push and pull of this idea that the immigrant has to be in a dialogue with the environment that is very sensitive and very delicate and can break you to pieces all the time. Sometimes you end up totally exhausted before you go to bed, and then you have to wake up in the morning and start again.
We have another person who comes from Romania, and now she's a yoga teacher, and her case, her reasons for leaving her country were different.
They were very different. Veronica Vaida, she lives in Hartford, and she was Jewish in Romania under the dictatorship of Ceausescu, and Ceausescu was very repressive in regards to different minorities, including the Jews. And at one point, a series of associations from outside the country paid Ceausescu, who have kept the country in absolute poverty, money for individuals. They paid for people to leave the country as if you were buying different items, and that was a way to rescue many of them and allow them to move outside of the country, and she is one of them. So she reflects in her oral history about having a monetary value, that somebody paid money for you, somebody whom you've never met and without whom you wouldn't be where you are today. So I think that that is a fascinating exploration of how we become things in the eyes of others.
My guest tonight is Professor Ilan Stavans, and we're having a a very interesting conversation about words in transit, stories of immigrants. This is a book, and which they will do a presentation this Tuesday
at 7 o'clock at the Jones Library in Amherst. And I should add also, Raquel, that this book, the proceedings of this book, go to scholarships to immigrant students at Holyoke Community College. And so the act of reading it and of connecting with the community that is now in between the covers of this book also enables others that are coming. There are several in the book that are undocumented, that are students, and that tell their stories with courage. They have had to live in the shadow. We often use in America the metaphor of the closet. Mm-hmm. They have had to live away from the public eye. And here they tell their stories. And now one of them is eager to become a broadcaster and make radio and television a place more open for immigrants. Another one in the book wants to become a lawyer and an activist. So these are stories of people that come from what we were saying, the periphery or the margins, and now they dream of having the possibility of being at the center.
Some of the immigrants are here because of civil wars in their countries, and that is the case of this young man from Burundi.
Mm-hmm. And there are many more in the book. They're individuals from Syria and from Iraq, individuals from El Salvador. Many of the people that have come, individuals from Palestine, who have come to this country as a result of violence, civil war, repression, and arriving to the United States and seeing a country where this is a foreign concept, I think is an infusion of hope. On the other hand, who would have known, Raquel, that when we were starting to put together this book, it would land on people's hands and laps just as that violence of the verbal violence that happened during the presidential election was so heated. And we feel now I'm an optimist that the future is going to be peaceful. But one fears as an immigrant, particularly from certain regions of the world, that one is more exposed and more vulnerable than ever before. So the irony here is that many of the individuals in this book sought to come here to embrace stability and peace. And I have every intention, as I'm sure many others, that this country will remain a safe haven and a place that will keep on allowing others to dream and to improve their lives.
I sincerely hope so. And to close our conversation on a positive note, I like the stories of these two young persons from El Salvador, because now they are in college and they paid for their own tuition expenses. One of them is considered as an in-state tuition. Unfortunately, the young man had to probably pay more because he was considered out of state tuition. However, that did not deter him from going. At one point, he's holding two jobs and going full-time to school, and he's still pursuing that.
An amazing story. These are Brian Torres and Angelica Merino Monge, very young from El Salvador, who are now activist and for whom going and getting an education meant not only entering this environment we were talking about, but meant the fact that they had to find money others would not have that challenge, and that money meant that their future could be put on hold. I think it goes back to something we heard during this election, that maybe the education in this country at the college level should be affordable, should be free, so that people can improve their lives in a direct way. The stories in this book, I think, are universal. They are about this 30 or so individuals, but I think they are about 30 million people, 300 million people, all of us who come from different parts of the world, who have accents and who are very proud to be Americans, chose to be here and are hoping that others will follow.
Very good. So this book is going to be for sale this Tuesday. So let's invite our listeners then to be there.
Yes, I invite everybody and I invite you very much. It's on Tuesday at the Jones Library in Amherst, Massachusetts at 7 p.m. Several of the participants in Words in Transit, Stories of Immigrants, published by the University of Massachusetts Press, will be there. I will moderate the discussion and I hope that the values of immigrants and of immigration would be upheld and disseminated at that point in for many years to come.
And the listeners, the people who will attend, they can also share their own stories as immigrants?
Absolutely. Awesome. This is an opportunity for people to come and share those stories with others and to feel a sense of community through storytelling.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you so much, Ilan, for this great, great conversation.
Un gran placer. Muchísimas gracias por abrir los micrófonos de tu programa tan extraordinario. Y espero que puedan todos venir el martes.
Muy bien. Muchísimas gracias. Y felicitaciones por la excelente presentación.
Gracias.
Están ustedes en sintonía de Tertulia. Mi nombre es Raquel. Con ustedes hasta las 10 de la noche.